It's a great privilege to be able to come and share with you tonight. I do thank God for the opportunity. You know, my wife said to me yesterday, after coming back from shopping, she says, "You owe me 10 euros. And I said to her, "For what?" She said, "I bought you a new shirt." So I had the shirt on today, getting ready to go on the journey, and it was a real black shirt. And I said, "Maureen," I said, "I don't think that's a suitable shirt for where I'm going." I said, "I don't want anyone to be getting any wrong ideas." So I took it off and put on a white one. Right? So, not that I care about the colour of the shirt. It doesn't matter to me. But praise God. Let's turn to God's word in John chapter 3 and we'll read it together. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 8 and verse 9. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And I just want to single out verse 9. The religious leader, who was over 50 years of age, says to Jesus, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" How can these things be? Well, I was born in August in 1961. And I suppose you could say the fact that the part of the country I came from, we would have been a Roman Catholic persuasion. Now, from the earliest age, I wasn't really conscious too much about religion. I saw it really as something that you had to do. There was things you had to do and places you had to go. But it didn't really mean anything to me personally. I can say that at a young age, I made my communion and my confirmation that followed afterwards. But it didn't make any difference to me at all, except that on both occasions you had to dress up specially. And the good thing I thought about it was you got some money, you see. The people gave you money when you made your confirmation or communion. But other than that, I didn't know anything about what it was supposed to mean. So, I was the youngest of four children in my home. There was two boys and two girls, and I was the youngest. I suppose you could say I was spoiled. I don't blame my parents for that, but it's very often the case that the youngest gets special attention. But by the age of 18 years of age, I had gone through 7 different schools, had 37 different teachers. In 1975, I was expelled from a convent in Newport, County Tipperary. My father was a civil engineer in Limerick County Council on road construction. Highly qualified man, brilliant mathematician. They did everything they could to help each one of us to get the best of education and to get us ready for life out there on our own. You know, the nuns would have had, the rest of the family would have gone before me, and I was described as the black sheep. I remember being on a ship one day and a sailor from Serbia saying I was a white crow. I never heard that expression before, but it was his idea of a black sheep, and I thought it was very effective, a white crow. You know, the nun said to me that we can't really let you stay here anymore, it's time for you to go. So I left at a young age with no schooling, no final exams, and my mother pleaded with a priest in Rockwell College in Cashel, County Tipperary, South County Tipperary, to let me in there to do my Leaving Cert. So she got me in. It wasn't a cheap place to be in. It was a boarding school. And I lasted there just under 2 years. For in June 1979, or May 1979, I was expelled from there as well. I found it easier to do wrong. I found it easy to get into trouble. I found that, you know, when I went out at night, and I particularly think of the drink, in relation to drink, that when I had drink on me, it added 6 inches to my height, and it took away any fears or cares or worries of any danger, any concept of wrong or right, and I was a different person when I had drink on me. You know, looking back today and tonight, I am certain that God had his hand on me all through that time. There were many incidents when I shouldn't have been alive. I should have been dead. There were many situations I'd been in. There was many circumstances that I should not have come through. And now today, tonight, I can say here in Crossgar and County Down, it was definitely the hand of God upon my life. So you may know of someone, there may be someone in your family as I'm speaking to you now, that you're thinking, what on earth is the hope for that person? Well, God is able to deliver. We sang that tonight. It's a powerful, truthful song, isn't it? God is able, and I'm proof of it tonight, standing here. God is able to deliver. Anyway, I was expelled from Rockwell College. The other fellow that was expelled with me was a fellow from Malaysia. My mother went up. My mother is a real heart woman. She went up and cried her eyes out to the priest, who was the dean of discipline in the school. And she said, we've done everything we can for him. We've gone everywhere we could. And she pleaded with him to give me another chance. Well, the priest had expelled a lad going all the way back to Malaysia. But he brought me into the room and he said to me, he says, Gerard, he said, I'm letting you go, but not because of you, because of your mother. And of course, you heard that expression, honour among thieves. Because the other lad was expelled, I was expelled, that was it, that was the finish. I had no desire to stay there. But I was allowed back to do my Leaving Cert exams. And I remember, after all those teachers and all those years in school, a huge investment by my parents, I remember sitting down to do my Irish exam. And for me, the definition of agony was sitting in front of an exam paper and not having done the work. That, to me, was agony. And I believe that the reason I found that so hard was because I knew I could have done it. I knew I could have done the work. I knew I could have studied. But my mind was so full of other things. So I wasn't going to sit there in front of this exam paper. And I got a piece of a biro and I got the exam paper. And for my Irish exam Leaving Cert, after 7 different schools and 37 different teachers, I wrote the following. I have absolutely no interest whatsoever in this exam paper. Goodbye. And that was my Irish exam for my Leaving Cert. That gives you an idea or an insight into my frame of mind at the time when I was 18 years of age. So back I came home, no hope of a job, no hope of ever settling down, no hope of a normal lifestyle, no friends on this earth. There was one friend I had prior to a lot of the trouble that I got into, and his name was Sean McGill. And Sean McGill was sitting with his father at his older brother's 21st birthday party, and his father said to him, isn't it sad the way Ger Nugent has gone? I was known as Ger Nugent. And Sean said, I have nothing to do with him anymore. And his father said to him, he said, if he was ever your friend, he's your friend now. And that was the only friend I had in Castleconnell, County Limerick. I used to walk into the local shop and people used to hush because of all the trouble that seemed to stick on to me. The scripture says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. You know, we sometimes get surprised when people get into trouble. It's something to do with our nature. We have a sinful nature. But anyway, Sean's father died and I came out of Rockwell College and I wasn't capable of consoling anyone. I wasn't capable of sympathising with anyone. I had a heart as cold as stone. But these were the words I said to him as I walked over the main road and Sean's father had just died. I said, Sean, your father asked you to go and get the water, which you got with a donkey and cart. Now, I'm not 80 years of age, but they did have a donkey and cart, and I sat in it many a time. And he used to go down to this well to get the water. You went down when your father asked you. Your father asked you to go to the bog. You went to the bog. Your father asked you to count the cattle. You went and counted the cattle. But I said, Sean, you can stand over his grave with a clear conscience. But I dread the day I stand over my father's grave. For my father had said to me, you will bite your pillow for the way you treated your mother and myself. And I absolutely dreaded those words, for I knew they were true. I'm so grateful tonight here in Crosscare that that did not come to pass, that God intervened in my life before it was too late. I can honestly say I wouldn't have lived much longer. I was 18 and a half, but I was 58 and a half. I was almost burnt out, and yet I was only a teenager starting off in life. I had no friends, and everywhere I went there was trouble, and I had no peace. I was like the troubled sea that the Bible talks about, which describes a wicked person. And I was a wicked person. But one night I was lying in my bed in November 1979. And this night I remember I was cold sober, because in many radio broadcasts, which God has been so gracious to let me go on, over 85 radio broadcasts all over Ireland. And I've been asked the question, was I drunk? Was I drinking the particular night in question? I was lying on the flat of my back in my bed, and I heard these words crystal clear speak to me, "Jerry, I love you." And my mother spoke those words to me when I was 13 or 14, and that was one way of getting me upset, is starting talking like that to me. I did not like that sort of talk at all. I'd say to my mother, "Go across the road and have a few vodkas and you'll be okay," when she'd start telling me that she loved me. But this night I heard a voice saying to me, "I love you." And I didn't ask a question, I didn't doubt, I didn't make any inquiry. I knew for a fact, there and then, that night, that God was speaking to me. And as quickly as the words were spoken to me, in my heart I asked the question, how could God love me the way I live my life? Surely he come to the wrong house. Surely there's a mistake here. And as soon as I had the words spoken in my heart, how could God love me the way I live my life, I got an answer. And the answer was, "Jerry, if I didn't love you, I could have taken your life many times." You see, I want to say something to you tonight. I don't know what category of person you are. There are two types of people. There's a saved person and there's a lost person. I know that people get caught up in all types of different religions and denominations and tags and all sorts of things. But when God looks down from heaven, he sees saved people and he sees lost people. And that night I was a lost person. I was a lost soul. And God knows exactly how to communicate to you. And God knows exactly how to communicate to me. And God knew that night that I didn't know he loved me. I was persuaded and convinced God couldn't love me the way I live my life. And when he said to me that night that if I didn't love you, I could have taken your life many times. Like a video flashing in front of me, I could see some of the things I'd done that I would choose not to ever remember. And times when I would wake up in the morning after being out drinking and getting into trouble, and 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock the following day, and snippets of things would come back to my mind like flashes, and I would think, "Oh no, did I do that? Was I in that place?" And it was an awful, awful experience. It was, to me, it was depravity when I look back. But God was telling me that he loved me. It didn't make any sense to me that God loved me. I thought that God loved religious people. I thought that God loved, with respect, if you're familiar with the term Holy Joes, Holy Marys. All right? That's the way I thought that God worked. And religion painted a picture of God to me, which was cold, which was distant, and he was up in the clouds, and he had a big beard, a cross face, and a big stick, and he was out to get me. And I wanted to stay away from him, because God was out to get me. And that's what I thought God was like. And this night, he told me that he loved me. And he told me that if he didn't love me, and the proof of it was the fact that I was still alive. You know that those words broke open my heart. My father pinned me against the wall of a house in Castleconnell, County Limerick, in the basement one day. He was a very, very peaceful man. He was a man who never got into trouble. He was a man who was always into resolutions rather than conflict. And one day he lost it with me, and he pinned me against the wall, and he said to me, he says, "I want to ask you a question." And he said, "Do you ever cry?" And I was tempted to say what I would have said. I was going to say, "That's an awful stupid question to ask." That's what I was going to say to my father. And maybe he'd have killed me that day if I said those words, because he was absolutely at the end of himself with frustration. "Do you ever cry?" This night, in my bed that night, I broke open. My heart was broken in two. I cried like I never cried in my life. And all I can say is that it was like a river going in my head and down out through my feet. I was completely and utterly transformed in my bed that night. In my own words, not knowing the term born again, not understanding about justification by faith, not knowing about being sanctified, saved by the grace of God. All the terminology was strange and foreign to me. I had never ever been to a gospel meeting. I can never remember reading a gospel tract. I can never remember speaking to Christians on the streets of Limerick. If they told me to go a particular way, I'd have gone the opposite. That's the way I was. But this night, I said with my own words, I said, God, I've made an awful mess of my life. Will you give me another chance? And I was crying. I was in convulsions. And I was desperate. My two hands were stuck up, sticking up straight, lying in the flat of my bed. And I can honestly say it took no effort to hold them up. They were just rigid. And it was the same as a drowning man out in the sea. And we could call it the sea of sin. And you know, transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus Christ came into my life, completely changed me, completely transformed my life from the inside out. I got out of my bed and I went into the bathroom. I never cared how I looked. You know, my mother said that the shirt didn't match. I said, that's fine. That shirt now is staying on. The shirt is not ironed. Fine. Don't be ironing any shirts for me. That was me. I didn't care about how I looked. I didn't. One of the sins that I didn't have a problem with was the vanity unit in the bathroom. I didn't spend a half an hour looking at myself because I couldn't care less what I looked like. Right? But I went in this night and I looked at myself in the mirror in the vanity unit in the bathroom and I was shocked. I couldn't recognize myself. I could see like a 200 watt bulb, a shining light coming out of me that was visible on my face and out my eyes. I was changed completely by the power of God. It was a wonderful, wonderful salvation experience. I went from there into my mother's bedroom, unannounced, and I said, Mum, I'm different. I'm after asking God into my life. If my mother had been a mechanic, which she wasn't, she'd have thought, well, the head gasket is gone now, and it was due to go anyway. Right, and that there's a place in Limerick is called St. Joseph's. I don't know what it is up in this part of the country, but I wouldn't have been allowed into St. Joseph's because they'd have said to me at the door, we have enough problems in here without you coming in. But I was completely transformed by the grace of, by the mercy of God that night. I knew my sins were forgiven. I knew I was different. I knew things were changed. The taking of the Lord's name in vain was the first thing that was gone out of my heart and out of my mouth. And the next thing was I had no desire to drink. And God in his mercy delivered me from cigarettes and the desire for cigarettes. And God gave me a desire to read his word, which I never had in any part of my life growing up. Religion never introduced me to the word of God. Religion never introduced me to want to know that God could be known in a personal way. Religion was cold. Religion was dead. It was like the cold building that you went into. And the only part that I liked when I had to go in there was the part where it says, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Because that meant you can go now. I had no interest in anything that was said before that. But thank God I discovered that God is not like that at all. That God is wonderful. God is tremendous. You know, I have 6 children, aged from 20 years down to 3.5. And the little one at 3.5 is a big surprise because we had a young girl. Her name is Sarah, is 3.5. She's our youngest child. And before her was Jemima. And Jemima has cystic fibrosis. And she's 13 years of age. And I can tell you this, that by the grace of God, when she was operated on, 2 days old, they operated it. They opened up her intestine because it was blocked. And an Indian doctor came out to me after the operation and said, the operation is successful, Mr. Nugent, but I'm 75% certain that your daughter has cystic fibrosis, which I didn't even know what it was. I said to that Indian doctor, and it was only by the grace of God, I said, Mr. Puri, because his name was Mr. Puri, I said, irrespective of the outcome of the operation, I can tell you today that God is good. There are 2 types of people that could make that statement. Either someone who was completely off their head and was mad, lunatic, or else somebody who had a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had 2 lads last Monday, and they represented their school in rugby for Munchen's College in Thomond Park, the home of Irish rugby. And they played in a cup final, 2 Christians. And there were 2 of the outstanding players in the match. They lost by 1 point to Rockwell College. the school I was expelled from. I don't know whether it was payback or not. But anyway, it was a very emotional time for us. And I want to tell you something. The match was set for a Sunday and it was changed to a Monday. We made it perfectly clear from an earlier stage. Under no circumstances was either of my two lads going to play any match on the Sunday, the Lord's Day. And the coach, who is a godless man, on seeing the faith and the stand that we're seeking to be making by the grace of God, told me that there'll be no match played on a Sunday. It'll be changed to a Monday. So isn't God good? These lads, Ezra and Benjamin. I also have Nathan, and my eldest lad is Jeffrey. You know, God has been so good to us. My wife Maureen comes from Irish-speaking Connemara, and if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be here today. If it weren't for her support, her prayer support, or being there, or just doing what she has to do at home, helping out, I can honestly say that she's been a tremendous blessing and an encouragement to me down through the years. I thank God for the wonderful opportunities I've had in speaking in so many different churches, even denominations, in most unusual cases, like speaking in closed convents, and have had the same liberty I have tonight to speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been free to speak and to preach the gospel as it is outlined in the Word of God. If you're here tonight, I don't know whether you're just a church-going person or whether you really are a Christian. You know, if you're a Christian, you will be conscious tonight that you're a sinner. And if you're a Christian, you'll be thankful tonight that you're a saved sinner. I was coming up through the country 230 miles. I was so blessed listening to Christian songs that I could identify with. They were meaningful, they were personal, they were mine. About the blessing of God, about the peace of God that passes all understanding, about the forgiveness of sins. You know, when you're a Christian, you can be honest with God. You know, when you're a Christian, you can open up with God. You know, my lads were there and they were broken-hearted last Monday. They really didn't know what way to turn. And this morning we had a meeting. I purposely didn't preach. I said, you go away and get something out of the Bible. And my lad, who was a scrum half on that rugby team, what he got was, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And I said, Benjamin, well, you know what that means? It means when you put God first, your heart's desires will be right. And God will give you those heart's desires. God will give you the heart's desire as it is in accordance with his will. God is not a spoilsport, and God is not boring. God is wonderful. God is fulfilling. God is able to satisfy the desire of every living thing. This religious man mentioned in John chapter 3, he had religion up to here. He may even have had people's respect. But he came to Jesus by night. He knew there was something different about Jesus. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Saviour, and you can say, no, I have not been born again. Think of Nicodemus. He came to Jesus Christ and he was honest. He asked the Lord Jesus about this idea about being born again. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? He was using his natural understanding. He didn't understand about being born again. I didn't understand about being born again. It didn't mean anything to me. But when the Spirit of God brought conviction of sin on my life, when the Spirit of God brought conviction of God's righteousness, what is God's righteousness? God's righteousness is in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, we can judge ourselves with the person down the road, and we can say, I was not as bad as him, and not as bad as her, and I know that person is better than me. But that type of judgment is no use where heaven is concerned. That's an earthly form of judgment. The judgment that you and I have to make is a comparison with the spotless Son of God. It's with Jesus. And if you compare yourself with Jesus, and the person I am most fearful for is a self-righteous person, a person who deep down in their heart feels, well, I'm a good person. They may even say, I'm a good churchgoer. They may even say, well, thank God that you had that experience. You needed that. And deep down you're thinking, you don't. You're thinking, no, I didn't do any of those things. I didn't go to any of those places. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, and we don't know what Nicodemus didn't do. He said, you must be born again. I know that people have a problem with that term. There are people that don't like this born again thing. But before you go down that road, ask the question, Where did it come from? Who did it initiate with? It was Jesus who said, you must be born again. Why did he say it? It's absolutely essential. It's imperative that you're born again in order to get into heaven. You will never, ever see God's heaven if you're not born again. You know that if the blowout in the police car outside Dundalk was in the front of the car, it could have been carnage, and a phone call would eventually have come up here. There was an accident. I'm sorry, your speaker didn't make it tonight. Blah, blah, blah. But the minister of this church would have known and would have been able to testify by the grace of God, he's gone to heaven. And that's the important thing. You go to heaven if you're born again. You go to heaven if you're saved by the grace of God. And you cannot afford to sit here tonight and wonder if you are or are not. It is something you've got to be definite about. I knew that night, November 1979, I knew my sins were forgiven. I knew I had peace with God. There was no person living that I hated that night. I didn't do that. It was Jesus Christ. It was the same Spirit that motivated me to go up on Monday to the priest in Rockwell College who would have known all about me. And I witnessed him some months ago and shake his hand and congratulate them on their win. I know what I'd have done a couple of years ago. I can tell you, it wouldn't have been shaking his hand. Things are different when we know Jesus. Our outlook changes. We see things from a different perspective. When we read the Word of God, I keep saying to my children, it doesn't matter whether you're going down the road to buy something in the shop. It doesn't matter whether you're planning to go to this school or that college or meeting someone. Bring it to Jesus Christ and ask him for his guidance. He said, I will guide you with my eye. He said, do not be like the mule or as the ass or the horse who has no understanding. And what does it mean by having no understanding? I know what I'm doing. I don't need anyone to tell me. I did that for long enough. There's a people like that in here tonight. I don't need anyone to tell me anything. But let me tell you something. I need Jesus Christ for everything. I need Jesus Christ. I needed him coming up here today. I need him going home tonight. And I'm happy to admit that tonight. I'm content to share that with you tonight. It's a wonderful thing to be aware of needing Jesus Christ. And he is not a disappointment. He is not a disappointment. He constantly, constantly amazes me. In the course of my life down in the south of Ireland, there were six of us gathered this morning in a meeting. A lot less than gathered here tonight. And we were blessed as we gathered around the Word of God. We were blessed as we prayed and shared openly. We were blessed. We were blessed and we are being blessed every single day. We're living in a recession, we're told. We're living in a very bad recession all over Europe. But there's no recession in heaven. God's bank is still prospering. God's not short of any supplies for any of his children. God is still able to look after his own. God is still able to protect, to lead and to guide and to prosper. Only last Sunday morning, we were in a meeting and I had a friend visiting from Listenskee. And I had a godless man, he's a friend of mine, but he's a godless man. He said, you can come on the radio at 12 o'clock. So I had a choice. I could be formal and say, well, I have a word prepared, we're going to have this now in the meeting. The meeting was cancelled halfway, it's true. And off myself and the brother went out to Palace Green, County Limerick, and went on the radio testifying about Jesus Christ. And that evening we had the same word that I had prepared for the morning meeting. And we were so grateful to God that God had touched that man's heart to let us speak freely and preach the gospel freely over the airwaves. Why? There might be one person listening. One person could hear the wonderful story that Jesus died on Calvary's cross and paid the price in full. I never knew that growing up. Jesus paid the price in full for your sins and mine. I believe from Scripture that Nicodemus was saved. He was humble enough even though he was shoving on. He was humble enough in verse 9. He said, how can these things be? How can these things be? And if you're here tonight, and if you're in that situation, how can these things be? Let me tell you this. Jesus paid the price in full for your sin and mine. And Jesus can tonight forgive you every single sin. Absolutely amazing. You know, if I was to confess every sin that I was involved in, I'd still be in that room. In Mundaline Heights, Castle Troy, outside Limerick City, I'd still be rattling off the sins. But when I told the Lord I was sorry, he took the Dlan Tor was the thing that we had in school for rubbing the blackboard. You see, I didn't learn anything that was on the blackboard, but I liked when I was cleaning it. Or it's cutting the lawn, because it meant you weren't studying, you see. Anything but study. And the Dlan Tor was got and rubbed off all the writing on the board. And when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he took the Dlan Tor to my sins and yours, and he wiped them all away, never ever to be brought up again. Never to be remembered. Never to be thrown in your face. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. If Jesus Christ died on that cross for you, and he did, why would you live your life without taking the benefit of that death, that sacrifice, that awful, awful death? I was thinking this morning, someone was sharing about Jesus, how he died on the cross, and that lovely song, I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. Think about it. The crown of thorns that the King of Kings wore on the cross of Calvary, that was beaten into his head with a reed by wicked men who spat in his face. And the Bible says he never answered a word. He never answered a word. Why did he do that? Because he loved a wretched sinner like me, Jerry Nugent. Because he loved you. And I want to tell you tonight that he loves you. And the devil is a liar. And the devil tells you that you've gone too far, that there's no hope for you, that there's no turning back. I want to tell you tonight, this is your night if you're not saved. This is your opportunity. This can be your time with God. And God can give you back the years that the locusts have eaten. God can turn it around for good. God can make things anew. God can change everything for you. He can change your heart. He can change your eternity. He can change your present. He can change your circumstances. He can change your future if you will turn to him tonight. There are people here, and I would encourage you to stay and talk to the minister. I'm available if you want to talk to me. If it's to do with God. If it's to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't deserve to be saved. And I never will. I don't deserve to go to heaven. And I never will. But it amazes me. The opportunities that God has given to me. A person who never got those qualifications in school. A person who totally wasted all those years. That God has been so merciful to me. And so gracious to me down the years. And you know, if you want to know why I came 230 miles today, when I have 6 children at home and plenty to be doing, it is because there could be one person here tonight. And if there was one person in this meeting tonight, I would share the same message with that one person. Jesus Christ loves you as he loves me. And Jesus Christ wants to save your soul tonight. And I'm pleading with you, don't go outside that door tonight. If you come in here unsaved, you go home saved tonight. You take what God has for you tonight. You're not here by chance tonight. You're not here because someone denied you to come here. You're here tonight because God's Spirit touched your heart. God prompted you to come. God enabled you to come. God worked it out for you to come. And God wants to give you something better than an invitation to a meeting. He wants to change your heart tonight. And he wants to change your eternity. And God says in his word, it's the words of Jesus, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I want to thank you tonight for listening. I know those people would like to hear different angles of a testimony. But I just committed this time to the Lord tonight. And I pray that something will speak into your heart. I pray that if you're a Christian and you're struggling, that you'll be encouraged. I believe it's the greatest ministry in Christianity is to encourage another Christian. I don't think there's anything come near it. If you're going through a difficult situation, if you're going through grief, turn to God. Ask for God's solace, God's encouragement, God's help. I have never ever known the Lord not to hear and answer prayer. I have never known. I have never met a person in my life that can tell me God let them down and be telling the truth. He never fails. He never fails. He is not a disappointment. And I want to encourage you tonight to turn to him. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It's not a bad thing to be born again. It's a good thing to know that your sins are forgiven. There's people on earth who will never forgive you. There's people down the road that'll never forgive you, and maybe not too far down the road. The people maybe around you won't forgive you, but the one that matters most will forgive you. Jesus, who died on the cross, he wants you to have your sins forgiven. He wants you to be able, you know, I could walk with my head up for the first time ever. I could walk, I could look anyone in the face, look anyone in the eye. And I know that people might despise you, might say all sorts of things about you. But you know something? He makes a huge difference when you bring him into your heart and into your life. I pass the pub down the road and people are drinking themselves into a stupor. You know, they're being cleaned out of their money. They have a false laughter, false joy. And what are they going to have tomorrow morning? They won't have the money for the ESB bill or for the children's shoes. And they get a sore head thrown in. What have we got tonight? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. God is a wonderful God. I'm talking about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I recommend to you the Bible. I recommend to you the Word of God. I recommend to you the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And if you're not saved, please, even if you're like Nicodemus, and you're staying here tonight, sitting down now, how can these things be? It can be explained to you tonight with the help of God's Spirit. It can be explained to you like the ABC. Jesus did it all on Calvary's cross. You need to accept the free gift of eternal life. Right? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Only what Jesus did. Only what he did on the cross. That's all that you need. Nothing else. You can't bring anything of yourself. You can't bring anything of your religion. You can't bring anything of your background. You come just as you are, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. That's the way to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to look back on this night and this day in Crossgar. And you'll thank God for the night in Crossgar you met with Jesus. As I thank God for the night in November 1979, when God intervened in my life and changed my eternity from hell to heaven. Changed my whole life. What a wonderful, wonderful difference does Jesus bring and make in our lives. I pray that God will bless you and encourage you tonight. And if you're not a Christian tonight, please take up the invitation. Please stay back. Please come up and have a chat about the Lord and about his wonderful salvation. And thank you for listening. Amen.